chapter, a few verses, and then we'll read pretty briefly tonight. If you'd like to have more time, but we can't always fit these things in. We're going to have a look at a few verses, but I want to speak a little this evening on making Christ our life. I won't be going into all the details. It's not making the Lord Jesus your Savior. That's fine. That's the way we start the Christian life. See, it's one thing to start and be born again spiritually, but it's another thing to live. And that's very important. And we don't have enough minutes here. When I say we, I mean to say the Christian world in Australia as we move around. I don't think there's enough minutes to give them to show Christians, especially young Christians, how to live out the life they've received. And so we want to enjoy just perhaps three aspects in a few minutes of the kind of life that the Lord has given to us. And we're going to start in John chapter 5, a couple of verses. John 5, Gospel of John 5. I'm using the Authorized Version. I don't know what yours is like. I hope it's something the same. It's going to be too far out. But just two verses. We'll take them for the sake of time. 39 and 40. John chapter 5, verse 39 and 40. The Lord Jesus is speaking to a bunch of unbelieving Jews here, and he's making one particular point very clear. And through what he says, if we can glean a little of what we might say personal work, because the Lord Jesus is just speaking to this group. They have bailed them up on the footpath, or they bailed him up or something, I don't know. But here they are, these religious people, religious to the back teeth. But you see, it's one thing to be religious, but it's another thing to be a Christian. Personally, I think there's nothing more boring than being religious itself. There's nothing more exciting than being a Christian. And that's a vast concept. Religion starts on the earth. People trying to do their best to one day hope they'll please their Creator, their God, and hope they'll make it. Which they won't, of course, because it happens to be just the opposite way around. It doesn't start on the earth. Christianity started in the glory, when the Lord Jesus first left heaven and came to earth. And he was the instigator. He was the prime mover in the Christian faith. When he lived for 33 and a half years, for God his Father first, as a servant of his Father, and as man, not as God, please. He left that behind. He came here to be the servant of his Father. So pleasing his Father in his life, in a sinless way, he was eligible to go to the cross to deal with sin. You and I were born in sin. So he dealt with it. And God raised him the third day. He said, well done, fine, satisfied. I'm prepared now to recognize that sin, in all its awfulness, has been paid for in full by the death of the Lord Jesus. The wages of sin is death. So the Lord Jesus paid the wages. But we couldn't. We had nothing to pay with. We were born in sin. Bankrupt. So the Lord took it. Gloriously for us. Now that's fine. So he went back to glory. But he said, when I'm glorified up there, I'm sending you the other. He said, the other comforter. Not just to make you comfortable, but the comforter is the Holy Spirit, the with strength person. That's what it means. To come to live in you. You see, I've been among you, and you've been with me, he says, but I've got something better in store for you than that. You might feel that's wonderful. I've heard some people say today, wouldn't it be lovely to have been living there and walking around with the Lord Jesus? I said, it would have been wonderful, but not as wonderful as we've got today. Oh, how come? Well, I said, he's come to live in. It's one thing to be with a person, it's another thing to have him in. And he's come in to be in charge of the Christian, not just him. He's come in the person of the Holy Spirit to make his life operative and working through our life. That's what he wants to do. So here he is talking to these bunch of unbelieving Jews. And he says in verse 39, the Authorized isn't quite clear here, by the way, there's got to be stated, it says in the Authorized, search the Scriptures. Well, that makes you think, you know, it's like a command or just a, you know, a request. But it's neither. It says, it means you, really. You search the Scriptures. It's a statement. Well, that's fine. And there's nothing wrong with searching the Scriptures. That's great. But there's something better than just searching the Scriptures, and he wants to point them through the Scriptures, as you'll see in a minute, to himself. So the Lord Jesus is the center of this book. I hope we all recognize that. Because the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth in the Word of God, but the truth isn't just the divinely inspired Scriptures, the person of the Lord Jesus. I am, he says, the way, the truth, and the life. He's the Christian life. And it's not A, by the way. A is the indefinite article, you have a thousand ways. But when you say the way, it means the only. And so it confines itself down to one person, the Lord Jesus. And he's the center of this book. And that's why the Holy Spirit points us to Christ wherever you look in the Bible. So, if you search the Scriptures, nothing wrong with that. But in them, now you're there in trouble now, but in them you think.
And you see, when you say, you see, you think, it means you're not quite sure. If you look out and you say, well, I think it might be a fine day tomorrow, it really means you don't know, but you're hoping it will be. And that's where the poor old world is absolutely lost, because they think they're doing their best, and they think that by living a moral, decent life, which most of them aren't, today, but if they were, they think that's good enough, because people say, well, you can't do better than your best, you know. I say, just hold on a minute, hang around a minute, too, and I'll tell you you can. Better than your best? Yes. What can you do? Well, I say, do nothing. But become. Oh, I wonder what's happening. Now, when you become, it means that something's happened inside. You see, doing, God's not into it. God will do the doing if you and I, if we're a Christian, are prepared to do the doing. And that's costly. Because it's a change of heart, a change of life, right inside, when we have the Lord Jesus on board, inside, directing operations from within. That's why it's costly. And so religion is nothing to be compared with. It's full of failure, and it doesn't start on earth, it starts in heaven to the glory of the Lord. So they're in trouble right away. You search the scriptures, the Lord says, and in them, the scriptures, you think you have eternal life. But you see, you haven't. Because the scriptures aren't eternal life. Well, what's the eternal life? Well, the Lord Jesus. I've just said that I'm the way, the truth, and the life, the eternal life. Who is? And they've missed the bus, horribly, until they become a Christian. Because you see, they've been looking here, and they're saying, well, we're learning the scriptures, and they learn. So then they've got books, they only have the Old Testament. But you see, learning it and having it up in here, that doesn't make them Christian. And there are scores of people today, they're the church, and they can quote scriptures all over the place. Humans and courses and go to camps and all that sort of thing, hobnob the Christians and they pass for a Christian. But the Lord's not interested, he's just from the heart. And he wants to see if this is changed and given to him. That's where he looks. Men look on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart, says the Bible. And you see, he looks to us like a pane of glass. You can't fool him. Fool other people, except fool yourself if you're silly enough. But you see, you can't fool God. And that's the heart searching. That's why we need to be open and honest when we come to the Lord, don't we? Well, because you search the scriptures. Are you wondering that? When then you think you have eternal life. This is where you're hopelessly out now. And they are they. Now he tells them a little bit about the scriptures. I've just mentioned it. That they, the scriptures, are they which testify of me. They tell you about me. They point you to me. That's what he's saying. Oh, my God. That's what the Bible's given for. To bring people to discover what God has told us about the Lord Jesus. That's in all sorts of ways. It's been the Old Testament, practical living of the Lord Jesus through the Gospels, and the Epistles and so on, teaching us how to live as Christians, both together and individually, with the Lord Jesus inside. So he says the Bible are those things which are written, scriptures which are testified of me. Now he gets them right between the eyes, said the Apostle, because the Lord Jesus doesn't fool around. He gets right to the heart of things. And so here it comes in verse 40, and you will not come to me, look at this, that you might have what we're talking about tonight, life. Physical life, of course they have physical life, they're standing here and helpless things. But it's spiritual life they didn't have. They're just doornails, spiritually. And that's where he makes the thrust. But you see what he does is, he does it through the scriptures. He says, nothing wrong with you searching the Bible, you think you've got eternal life here, you haven't. You haven't looked far enough. You see, the Bible is like a signpost. My wife and I do a lot of travelling and we often cut signposts. Some buildings are sitting around along the road and you have to get in jail because they deceive people. But if they haven't done so, and pointing the right way, well, it'll lead you where you want to go. If you go by the signpost. Now, the Bible is like a glorious divine signpost. That's not the Bible. It says this way to the Lord Jesus. Read it, enjoy it, meditate on it, and obey it. And then the Lord says, that's how you'll learn of me and how to learn to be a mature, grown-up Christian, not a baby. So it's a lot more than just feeding on the bottle. The Lord wants to feed on the solid meat and learn how to live and grow into the spiritual maturity. It sounds a way for you and old folks like we are. If you're a young person, you love the Lord, you can grow up as fast as you're willing. If you're willing to, this is a bit scary, not just have him in here, but give our lives to him day by day. So that he's got us. You're always trying to talk about having him. Fine. That's the eternal life. But the Lord says, I want you to be fit for earth. So I want you. I want you given to me day by day. So that I can use you and speak through you and live my life The life of the Lord is just through you. That's what he's after. So we're going to remember that. And I've spoken to some folks who come up after him and said, well, thank you, they're with me between the eyes. I don't remember really just giving my life to the Lord in a definite way. And I said, well, it kind of is. Because you haven't done anything to the Lord that's any good. Oh, you might look at praises of people, you might be a fine speaker or a lovely singer or anything like that, but when the Lord's waiting to have you, and then when he's got you, then you can get on with the business. Good, you see. Because if we're working for him, there's two parties, and that's bad news. There's you and me. There are two parties at all. It's one life, the life of the Lord Jesus, that we're talking about tonight. And so his one life, himself wants to live his life through you, through our human life. And that's good. Well, we'll carry on. So he gets the light between the eyes. That's what I said about that little sermon. But he says, you, that's your trouble. You won't come to me. You're over there. I'm here. And you're separated from me. And you quote the Bible like a parrot. You'll end up in outer darkness. You need to come to me. Well, we'll carry on. All right. We'll read over John chapter 10 now. Verse 10. Well known verse, of course. And just let's get it straight. Keeping in mind, we're talking about the Lord Jesus being our life. Is he your life tonight? Don't answer me, but you answer that to the Lord, or you speak. And say, Lord, what I want to be is your life. And that's start exciting to tomorrow and start looking around wondering what he's going to do with you. And that's great. But if you can't do anything with us, he's not us. That's the point. He wants us. All right. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes not, but for the steal and the kill and the destroy. That's the work of the devil himself, doing his utmost to rob us of anything. Of the scriptures, or of the joy of trusting the Lord, anything he wants to rob us. He's doing a pretty good job among Christians today, because they're not, unfortunately, equipped for the adversary. They don't understand that greater is he, the Lord Jesus, who lives in you, than who is in the world, the devil. But if he's greater in here, and the devil out there, where do you get the victory from? Because of the Lord Jesus, of course, not by trying, but by trusting. Isn't it? Trusting the one who made the universe. Well, surely if he made the universe, he can do little you and me. Of course he can, but he's got a letter. And that letter is our will. That's the secret. So he says, all right, the devil comes and does that, but I am come, in the middle of verse 10, I am come that they might have life, that's himself, but don't put a full stop there, please. Life and. It's the life and I want to talk about the thing in the scripture. Like and that they might have, not which, which is in italics, it doesn't mean this, and so they didn't know what to put in. They should have put him, really. But who's the life, you see? He said, I'm the life, and that they might have life, that's me, more abundantly. And so that's the marvelous thing about that, too. More abundantly. It doesn't say how much more. Because you see, the Lord is unlimited. Isn't that good? Unlimited. Well, if he's unlimited, he comes to live in here, well, it doesn't take very long for him to fill us up, does it? When we get him. So, first of all, we've got life, eternal life in the Lord Jesus. Secondly, we've got abundant life in him. This is more than enough for us, and that ought to be satisfying enough. That's right, so we can carry on, all right? Abundant life. Now, come over to the best known psalm in the whole Bible, Psalm 23, and verse 5 this time. 23rd Psalm, and verse 5. Of course, starting the psalm, as we mentioned the other day, perhaps you can't remember whether you were there or not, but the very first verse in this glorious psalm is to do with present tense Christian living. Starts off, the Lord is. And that's present tense, you see. But it doesn't say, he is my Savior. It never says. He says, he is my shepherd. And it can't go into the details of that. That means a great deal. It means all that the sheep needs. And the result is, when the Lord is my shepherd, the result of that first verse is, I shall not want. And if you don't want, then things are satisfied, doesn't it? But the Lord Jesus, after time, doesn't seem to satisfy some people because they don't make him the shepherd. That's logic. They're just happy to have a Savior that's going to take them to heaven when they die, like a glorified passport. Well, what if people turn out better? The Lord didn't die just to manage the glory. He died to make a fit for earth on the way to glory. And to be fit for earth is not just to have the Savior, it's to have the Lord in charge of my life. And we'll be saved day by day. Find that in Romans 5:10, but we won't turn to that now. We've often had it before. But verse 5 now, thou to the Lord prepares a table before me, so he feeds us, in the presence of my enemies, they're all round about us, And there's a lot of people that fail in domains, and they won't read and meditate on the Word of God and make it our spiritual food. And not only that, but half the time, we can't find folks who will teach others. The Apostle Paul, when he read Timothy to the Lord, he called it right from the start. He said, look, you learn this, and then teach others, so that others can teach others, and others can teach others. Now that's what it should have been. That's why the Christian faith would have done a marvelous job throughout the world, and that didn't carry out, but it hasn't been. We're lagging horribly behind. And all sorts of cults and things that are multiplying in this world today. That's the thing, isn't it? Because Christians, we're falling down on that job, and we've got to be all in it together and say, yes, I'll say that they have failed. Yes, hopefully. Well, the Lord says, not too late, I haven't come and taken you home yet. Let's wake up. And that's what revival is. It's not jumping up and down and saying, and yelling hallelujah like a parrot. Doesn't mean that at all. Revival is simply the living again of the life of the Lord Jesus, too. So each of our personalities, we're all different. Thank God for that. That's what it really means. So he says here, I'll feed you. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Now oil in the scriptures always speaks about the work of the Holy Spirit. And isn't it a lovely thought? It's the head that's anointed. The feet will come later on. But the head, in our human system, is the controller of this body. And if this head doesn't control the body, you've got to go to it where someone else controls it. And in the spiritual sense, wonderful picture, the Lord's the head of the church, where his members. And he wants to be inside. And he anoints him, that the oil on the head is a picture of the Holy Spirit being given to every Christian, so that he points us to Christ. That's his job. Now a lot of our so-called Christian activity today is pointing more to the Holy Spirit than to Christ. He's going into the second phase, the Holy Spirit comes first. Wrong. He's come not to glorify himself, he's come to glorify the Lord Jesus. And so we want to put him in the rightful place. And then we'll be rightly delighting the word of truth. So our head anointed with oil, Christ. And what happens after that? Well, it says, my cup runs over. It goes on. Not has run over, but runs over, present tense, all the time. What does that mean? Well, the cup is like you and me, our body, our life, is a container of the Holy Spirit, making the life of the Lord Jesus real in our lives. But if it runs over, what does it do? Reaches others. But the force of reach others has got to be filled. And you put a cup under the tap, and it's very long before the cup comes up to the top, and the next operation flows over. And you see how simple it is. The Lord makes it clear. He wants it to be filled. And there are all sorts of stupid ideas today that people think what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ridiculous. It just simply means to be controlled by and led by the Holy Spirit. That's what it means. That's being filled. And when we're filled with him, the next operation is he flows over. So the lovely character of the Lord is spontaneously filling you and me. We don't even know it. We don't need to know it. Good job we don't. Because if you stood back and looked at yourself, you might be disappointed. But the Lord says, no. He says, no, you just carry on, preach the word, live out my life. And I'll look after the overflow, I'll look after the increase, because you see, the Lord is one who does things miraculously. And the Christian life is nothing less than miraculous, because you can't do it in a human sense. It's only God, the Holy Spirit, that can lead the Christian life to our personality. That's great, isn't it? So he says, my cup runs over. Well, what's that? That's out of the flame. All right, you started with life, you had abundant life, more than we can contain, and more than we can contain, the next operation is going to flow. So we've got the overflowing life, but you don't stop there. However, quickly with you, we meet these Romans 5 now, 17 and 21, Romans chapter 5, chapter 13, the second time, 17 and 21. Romans chapter 5, 17. For if by one man's offense, that's Adam, see that? He's very much offended God and necessity fell down and kept the human race down. By one man's offense, death reigns by one. Much more, now look at this, it's much more meaning, more important than the failure and the death that Adam brought into the world, spiritual death. It wasn't physical death. At the moment, God says, if the day that you eat Adam and Eve, you will die. We're not talking about physical death, they didn't fall down dead. Because you'll read a little later on, but the next generation, death, accurately from the word of God, tells us, that Seth was born after the image of what is currently Adam. He was an Adam, not after the image of God. Lord Jesus, Adam himself was made after the image of God, the moral likeness, because he had the Holy Spirit in him and he had the courage of his Creator. Until the day that he sinned, and that's the day that he died. He lost the Holy Spirit, withdrawn from him, and he was here dead to God. And you see what death brings? To the utter fear. Because when God spoke to him again, what happened? He answered life to his wife and hid behind the trees of the garden. And that's what people are doing today. They're not Christians. You can see them running away. I don't mean physically. What their minds, they disguise that. You start talking about the Lord Jesus and what you mean to see, and then they start talking about all sorts of excuses. Oh, I get accepted, but I don't know anymore because of the hypocrite here. Well, you see, if you run behind the trees of the garden, that's all they're doing, the same as Adam did. Trying to get away from facing up to the truth of God and the Lord Jesus. Did you see what happened? Adam, who produced death, the Lord Jesus got much more, read it, excuse me, much more, they which receive, read it, we're on the receiving end, abundance of grace. And as good as an acrostic of grace, I hope you know, I'll just point it out, you're just not sure, but I think you see a man coming up from the first time I heard it, I don't know where he got it from, but anyway, good acrostic for grace. If you like to know, what's grace? Here's a good description. G-R-A-C-E. These are the numbers, five letters, five fingers on your hand. God, this is at Christ's expense. Good definition, isn't it? God's riches. I want to leave a minute or two, just there before we sit down. But God's riches at what? Christ's expense. What does that mean? Well, Christ extended himself. He gave himself on the cross. And among the many things that he did there was opening the door to God's storehouse of riches, which were all invested in the Son, the Lord Jesus, but they are all available to every Christian who comes and joins himself to God and who gets into Christ, like that little sphere. So there's all the balls inside. And when they're inside, well, he said, now help yourself. We want to be wealthy. Because the Lord says, you just take, draw from me all of the riches that you need and just say thanks for them. Don't forget. And so many Christians don't say thanks for too many things at all. They just thank the Lord that he gets what they want. The Lord doesn't almost down for that night. Sometimes he says no. But they keep on trying to sit you down. And how tired it must be. People sort of want to sort of get in to sit in the bed for them. The Lord says, no, you've got it all wrong. I don't sit in your program, you sit in the my program. I've got the blue thing, says the Lord, not you. You've come my way, you follow me, I don't follow you. And the people are so secret today. After the Lord, the followers are all sorts of things that and places where the Lord is not interested. Your focus is on your way. You come back to me and follow me. So, God riches at Christ's expense. So, they're all available because Christ opened the door for God's riches when he died. Alright? So, the abundance, right there, so you do, much more, they would receive, system, the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, but if it's a gift. And righteousness isn't trying to do the gift to Jesus. That's not righteousness at all. It's a gift. It's the person of the redeemer, the redeemer. He's our righteousness. But righteousness is right living. And there's an awful lot of wrong living today, isn't there? In the world. Because people are the prime mover, they're the instigator of what they think is okay. And anything goes today, no standards at all. No standards of righteousness. All gone. The Christians have the standard of righteousness and we have the Lord Jesus as our righteousness. And we'll read that in a minute before I see. But you see, it's a gift. Well, it's a gift, you don't work with it. Give it to them, you say thanks. So the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign. Look at this. In life. And we're teaching that. Reigning in life. What does that mean? Well, he's being on top because the person who reigns, the king or the queen, is number one person of the country. And they used to be the dictator, they used to say what's to be done and what's not to be done. Because us to be reigning in life is just a leader's privilege. It's not by working hard either or giving them grips or anything like that. And it's obvious it doesn't say that at all. It simply says shall reign in life by one. Look at this. Jesus Christ. And he is to be sitting on the throne of our will, as I mentioned the other day in one of the meetings. And you can't have more than one person at a time on the throne. You never get two kings or two queens or two ministers. No, no, one at a time. One abdicates or one dies, another one comes on. So they've got number one man in America. They've got the platoon number one, the book at the moment. But you see, the Lord says that I am actually on the throne of your word. You're going to reign in life. And if you're not going to reign, you're going to be swamped, either one or the other. So many of you Christians have been swamped today because the Lord Jesus didn't reign in there. And if he reigns in here, you and I will reign out there. And that's good, I tell you, that's different than what I am. And that's what sort of put a smile on the Christian's face. And everybody else is worried to death. And I think they ought to be worried to death too, because they're pity for death. They're with death all the time. They're dead. They're gone. Hey, you see, we're the reigning life. And it's much more. And you think that it's an abundant life, it's an overflowing life, but it's an overcoming life. And that's joy. That's what it is, victory. Now, people seem to get the idea that to have victory in your life, you've got to have a, like another injection, or something like that, to sort of not only wake you up, but to sort of plug you out. And there's nothing to do with that. Well, victory is to do with same thing. If you read it in the Bible, thanks to the answer God, who gives, but who gives us the victory? How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus says. The Lord, the divine master of your life, Jesus the Savior, that's the good, and Christ the King. He's ready, so he can hang out there. And that's victory. And that's saying thanks, Lord. And that's awfully good for your morale. And it really takes the weight and responsibility off your shoulders and hands to the Lord. And that's tremendous. Isn't that great? Well, that's the overcoming life. Now, just a vertical exposure of the riches. So, in the 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please. 1 Corinthians 1, 2 verses, 29 and 30. 1 Corinthians 1. 29 and 30. But no flesh, nothing pertaining to the old nature, see that, that's the flesh, gives glory in God's presence. Well, how can it? Because it's rottenness of core, rottenness of the very beginning, because we were born in sin, and sin is death from the flesh. Not being a bad guy necessarily, it's just gross of sin, but sin is less than 100%. And if we're less than 100%, you've got no right or claim at heaven or on God at all. It is doomed. Without the Lord Jesus. So, what happens? Well, it happens that starts from the old nature and glory in God's presence. That's why even when you become a Christian, it is the Lord that I'm going to ask you to be ready. And some of the Christians never learned this. They got their clothes off, and all in their clothes, don't they work in the Jesus? How does that come? Some of them get a nervous breakdown, the devil's attempt. They said, well, I'll be back for 6 months. It's pathetic, isn't it? Well, those are going to ask you, have a go. You come to me, all you so-called lazy, you're working, and I'll give you rest. Where to? Your soul, not your body. Well, the busy little dudes, when we come and give our lives to the Lord, the rest of your soul, what's your soul? Well, your mind, your double thinking, your heart's affections, wherever that is, somewhere or other, the double loving or the hating, the emotional side, and the will, the time. And when you're rich, until this side, you'll have to doctor this tonight. You might know either. If you've got a will, it's up to the side. You have to tell your mind, your emotion, and your will. And the Lord says, that's the department that I'll give you rest to if you'll knock off your work for me and come to me, and then we'll get on with the business together. And the Bible says we're working together with God. That's good, isn't it? Now, that's the cream of living the Christian life. So, all right, let's carry on. Verse 30. Now, this is... But of him, this is of God, are you in Christ Jesus, right? Those little balls are inside that sphere. We're in Christ. In Christ Jesus. Who? This is Christ Jesus, verse 30. Of God or from God is made unto us. So there is, this is coming originally. Made unto us what? Wisdom. So you don't have to ask for it, you want to thank God for it. And that's encouraging. Wisdom, righteousness, that's his righteousness, all our righteousness, filthy down. So the Bible says. So he's our righteousness, he's made unto us sanctification, which means being set apart for the original job for which we were made. That's what sanctified means. And so we're set apart for the Lord Jesus. Not just set apart from the world. You look at the negative side of going backwards. You look at the positive side, and we're set apart to him, the Lord Jesus. And that's tremendous. That's why he wants to save us day by day to be available to him. Speak to us and to behave to us. And to live his life to us, sanctified, and also redemption. He's made unto us. To redeem is to buy back again. And if he's bought us back, then he deserves to have us, doesn't he? Of course he does. Anything that you've bought, you've taken delivery of, I hope. If you haven't, you scare the mud and didn't get it. If there's some delay, for the Lord paid for us, but he hasn't got some Christians, they've never given themselves back to him. That's why they're working so hard for him. He said, I'm not interested. That's pathetic, isn't it? So he wants to be, have us, and he wants to be our very redemption.
All right,
one more verse, two verses, and we're finished. Colossians chapter 2, 3 verses, 9 and 10. Colossians 2, 6. In a nutshell, he's showing us how we're to live. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As or like you have therefore received, you see, Christ Jesus the Lord, not just Jesus the Savior, Christ Jesus the Lord, so as you received him, so walk in him. Here it is again, you see, the protection, being in the Lord Jesus, walk in him. He did everything for us, we couldn't lift a finger for our salvation. He says, you come to me and live in me, and you don't lift a finger to work for me either. I have you, and I work through you, as we make our lives available. Well, that's verse 6, but verse 9 says, for in Christ lives all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So all riches are invested in his Son, and we finish with verse 10, and you, Christian, are, present tense, not when we get to heaven, you are complete in him. Well, isn't that joyous? You couldn't have any more than complete. It means filled up. It means all that we need. For time and for eternity is wrapped up in the person of the Lord Jesus. And you see, when we're filled, as I said before, we can't help but be satisfied. This is what the Lord wants to do. So, we've got life then, in himself. We've got the glorious, abundant life. And we've got the overflowing life. And we've got the overcoming life. And it's all wrapped up in the person of the Lord Jesus. And we're complete in him.